So I'll just write just a few words on the board, not much. Just to give us a little bit of an idea where we're going. This morning. Personal worship or devotions. What is known as family worship and congregational worship. And then I might just put down some of the basic references that I have with each of these, although we have more, but just in case this was all you were to remember, I would want to write down Psalm 66, 16 to 20. And here, I like to write Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And here, I would just write down Psalm 100. Sorry, that was Spanish. Psalm 100. Very good. Now, the introduction. The last sermon I had here was the title, What is Our Center of Worship? That was 2 weeks ago. We looked at worship and its meaning, which is both a noun and a verb. It's a thing, it's something we do, it's an action, but it is a verb. It's something that we can do. It's a thing, and it's something we can do, both a noun and a verb, meaning that it is something, and it is an action also. We talked about the concept of voluntary worship, and that was having to do with we worship because we want to worship. And when our worship is voluntary and not forced, it has a dimension of our free will that we do it because we want to do it. It's a response of our own hearts to a God who loves us. Because people in our world are forced to worship. And we went to Revelation and looked at different examples of worshiping the beast and worshiping these idols and all kinds of things that people worship, and they worship them by force and not by willingness. But God's people worship Him because it's a voluntary response. But we also noted that at the end of the age, in the judgment day, everyone will pay homage to God Himself. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. All right. Then at the end of our message 2 weeks ago, we spoke about our worship being centered on Christ Jesus. And we asked the question there at the end of the message, are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? And as you've thought about your life the last 2 weeks, how has it been? We should ask, how has it been in my life and yours during the past 2 weeks? And then if we add to that the appropriate challenges that Brother Lauren left for us last week, and as we studied the life of Joshua and his text, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Has that been, actually, the way it has been in our lives? Because if Christ is the center of our worship, it should surely be a reality that we will serve the Lord personally, as a family, and as a congregation. This morning I plan to speak on a practical side of worship. The title this morning is Our Worship in Practical Terms. I repeat, our worship in practical terms. We want to look at three specific aspects in our worship. They're behind us on the board. First, personal worship. Second, family worship. And third, public worship or congregational worship as in church services. Let us remember this morning that humility is imperative as we come into the presence of Almighty God and want to worship Him. Humility is imperative. Remember the illustration of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee had to tell God all his good things that he's been doing, how he's been performing his religious activity, and stacking that against these sorry people around him, this poor publican over here, and he even said, "Thank God I'm not like this publican." Pride to the max. Telling God how good a feller he really was. A proud person will scarcely worship God, yet he thinks a lot of himself, and in essence he ends up worshiping himself, or worshiping by himself. God doesn't have much to do with pride. There's a lot in the scripture to prove that. Also, to properly worship God, we need to have a lofty view of His holy word. Remember, one of the names of Jesus is the Word of God. John 1 teaches us that. Revelation 19 teaches us that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and so on. And then it says, it talks about the rider on the white horse in Revelation 19. And it says that on his, there's an inscription written on him. His name is the Word of God. I found this quote. "The Word is the best book, the best guide to human conduct, and tells of man's best friend. Saturate yourself in the Word. Keep truth fresh in your mind. We need to keep ourselves, every one of us, in direct touch with God's Word. It is the power of God in our hearts." If we listened to the devotional at the opening this morning, we would have heard something about that as well. In the instruction book that we use for our applicants, there's a little statement that I wanted to use as a definition again this morning of worship before we go into the practical points behind us on the board. And that is, worship is a response of reverence, adoration, love, and devotion that causes us to serve and obey God. I'm going to repeat that. Worship is a response of reverence, adoration, love, and devotion that causes us to serve and obey God. Part of what Saul needed to do, as we studied in our Sunday school lesson, part of what happened in those 3 days, and I noticed it also in the very way that he addressed the voice that spoke to him. First he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And when a person says Lord, they're recognizing there's a power, there's an authority much higher than themselves. Someone who deserves obedience and service. And then he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The response of reverence, adoration, love, and devotion that causes us to serve and to obey God. Jesus Christ the Lord. All right, personal worship. Take time. Take time. Take time to worship in private. Take time to pray. Take time to read the Word. Read the Word. Pray and fast in a personal way. Personal devotions. Watch and pray, Jesus said. For what reason? Just to pass some time? Jesus says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Temptations are going to be anyway. But if you prepared yourself and took time to watch and pray and read the Word, it fortifies the spiritual man for combat ahead. Whenever we do not take time to watch and pray, when we don't take time to read the Word and run headlong into a temptation, which there's plenty of them out there, plenty of them out there, we find ourselves just kind of like weak. We find ourselves not being able to overcome. We find ourselves we just don't have tools. We don't have fortitude. If we don't take time to pray and read the Word. A few scriptures, Psalm 145, personal worship, as in personal devotions. I want to be properly understood. It's personal devotions. A person worshiping. One person worshiping. Don't want that to be misunderstood. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, I want to extol you. I want to put you in that place that you rightfully deserve. I want you to be the center of my worship. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. Personal worship, in prayer even, is a thing of praising God, thanking Him. Thanking Him and praising Him. It's part of what it is all about. Recognizing how great He is, it says in verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable greatness. But we find out at least a minute amount of it if we read in the Word. If we read passages like Psalm 40, somebody put on a status this week, a friend of ours, and says, what person do you know can hold all the water in the palm of his hand? Just a thought. There's a God that can do that. And talks about how people speak of the mighty acts of God, the terrible acts. And then what kind of a God is it? A God who is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Is that the God we're serving? Is that the God we pray to? I trust it is. Do we know Him? Watch and pray. Praise His holy name. Now, the verse we have behind us on the board, Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. When is the last time that you prayed sincerely and earnestly to God? When did it happen last? How is it in our lives? Has there been a life of prayer? Praising God, thanking God, praying to God. And the brother already read to us this morning from Psalm 119. And I just decided to go through there just briefly. And mention a few verses that I have highlighted. I know that I've touched these before, but I'm speaking of personal worship this morning and taking time to read the Word. I gave some encouragement after Brother Alan Flagel preached to us a couple weeks ago. Blessed is he that readeth. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They shall do no iniquity, they that walk in his ways. And one thing I can tell you this morning is, if you spend time reading the Word and spending time in prayer, it'll keep your feet farther and farther away from the iniquity of the world. And you'll have a testimony to share with them too. They shall do no iniquity that walk in his ways. You might make a mistake. You'll get up and you'll confess it and go on. But you will not live in sin. You will not commit sin. The Bible says he that believeth in him will not commit sin. It's not going to be an ongoing procedure, continually stumbling around and living in sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil, the Bible says. They also do no iniquity, they that keep his ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I think Brother Derek read us that verse. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. How is it? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Most of us can testify to a time in life when we weren't listening. We weren't praying. We weren't reading. And somehow or another, we found ourselves where we didn't want to be. And God, through his mercy, brought us back. And now we want to keep his word. We want to stay on the right track. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Goes right back to Psalm 1, the brother read this morning. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when we walk in the light of life, and when the light of the gospel is shining upon us in our hearts, the devil has a little less access to us. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. And what about if I am avoiding the law? Better not be. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And whenever we read the word, it gives light in the soul and helps us to understand scriptures that we otherwise do not understand. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's a lot more verses that could be read, but I think that suffices to help us understand that personal worship is very, very important. I'm sure that I've said this before, but it is good to read a Bible, not just read the screen. It is good to read a Bible, not just read a screen. I also want to say something else. Our Bibles, throughout the week, should not be dust collectors. They put them in feed mills and in woodworking shops, but our Bibles should never, ever be dust collectors. How is it at your house? By Saturday evening, could you go and put your initials on the Bible and see the dust? Or is it something that you're using and using and using? And using. How is it? I'm not against screen Bible reading, but it's a little hard to highlight a verse that meant something to you on a screen. It's a little bit hard to make a little note of a sermon or something. And I know some people have been taught against that, and I never was. I know some preachers have to get new Bibles after a while because the margins are so full of notes and so full of comments. But if you don't want to mark your Bible up, then get a notebook. And at least highlight on a notebook. But make personal devotions worthwhile. Pray and read. And sometimes fast. When's the last time that you fasted for a spiritual need in your life? When's the last time you needed to make a decision and you decided to take time to pray, take time to read the word, take time to fast? When's the last time it happened? Prayer from a pure heart, fervently, is a direct access to spiritual power. Prayer from a pure heart fervently is a direct access to spiritual power. And if we find ourselves this morning anemic and unable, and we come to a temptation and just like a wave it knocks us down today and tomorrow and the next day, and we sin today and we know it's going to happen again tomorrow because we did not take time to pray, take time to read the word. And sometimes for those types of needs, we need to take time to fast and say, God, help me to get the victory. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching, so much the more. Is that day approaching? It better be. The signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern skies. Lift up your heads. Redemption draweth nigh, the song says. So much the more. Personal devotions is so important. Read the books of the Bible. Learn the books of the Bible. I had an embarrassing moment. I don't remember where it was. It was a while back, but I had to go to find one of the minor prophets, and I was up front preaching, and I was just blitzing around trying to find that book of the Bible. Where is it? Page this way, page that way. And once in a while, I have to go down through the books of the Bible and see if I still know. Maybe you need to do the same. Learn the books of the Bible. Read a book of the Bible. They say the average epistle of the New Testament you can read in 20 minutes. If you're a fast reader, some of them are quite short. Somebody recommended reading them. Read a book of the Bible every day or every couple days. Just read through them. Read a chapter a few times over. Make notes as you read. Read that word. It'll never do you any harm. It'll do you a lot of good. Take time to read the word. Read a chapter once. Read it again. Look at those special verses that are hidden in the text. All right. Second point is family worship. Family worship. Deuteronomy 6. I find it a sad thing when I talk to some people that are having struggles and hear just how much they have family worship at their house. It says here, and these words which I command thee this day, and this is not New Testament doctrine here, but it has its application. This is the law. This is Moses speaking to the new generation of the people of Israel. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In thy heart. So it starts with personal devotion, personal worship. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And normally, when we have family worship, it is a sitting down time. And fathers and mothers, it is our job to teach diligently unto our children these words, the words that God has given us, the stories, the teaching that's there, when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Psalm 34:11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So a father should tell his children, children, sit down. It's time for family worship. Hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I was blessed in looking at just a couple verses in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, we find a scene as Peter got to Cornelius's house that I wonder how often this may have occurred before Peter came. But when Peter got there, it says in verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. There's no shame in when we're having visitors to have them be part of our family worship experience. Verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. A little group, and evidently Cornelius felt that he needed someone else to help him with family worship today. And Apostle Peter shows up and he says, here, you have the floor. You take the lead. You just tell us what we need to hear from God today. And I, looking at this passage and then chapter 16, I want to look at a few verses here. It talks in the beginning of chapter 16 about a man named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, and it implies by the writing there that maybe his father was not even a believer. And I want to encourage even our sisters to take part in teaching, because Apostle Paul says clearly there was an unfeigned faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and then in thy mother Eunice, and I'm convinced it is in thee also. There was a continuity of faith that transferred down through. And if the father, the Greek father, was not a believer, it appears as though Eunice did something to transmit that faith to Timothy. Chapter 16 then in verse 13. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a river where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and there spake unto the women which resorted thither. It looks like a little prayer meeting group. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, notice that, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She was baptized. She had heard the word. And I see there, and I don't want to read into it anything that's not there, but you can imagine a little prayer meeting that happened out by the riverside and probably happened at home too. And then these men come and teach. And then she becomes a believer. And we have reason to believe that this was the beginning of one of the churches. Whether it was Thyatira, it looks like this is happening in Philippi in Macedonia area. I don't know if this is the beginning of the church of Thyatira or not. But if we go down to verse 30, we read the story about the Philippian jailer. That's what some people call him anyway. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He was about to kill himself. He was about to commit suicide, and somebody stopped him. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. We see family worship there, and took them in the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. All his house. Is that anything like family worship, in your opinion? Hearing the word, repenting of sin. And I just have seen a tiny, tiny, tiny bit in my short years of how church planting can coincide with family worship time. Church planting and family worship time. There is a way that that connects. Personal devotions becoming family worship, and that transferring into church planting efforts and public worship. I think we see that connection there. If I'm misunderstanding that, I stand correction this morning. Let's talk about some practical aspects of family worship. Read Bible stories. Age appropriate and ask age appropriate questions. Read Bible stories and ask age appropriate questions. To the 4-year-old, the question will be different than the 14-year-old. But engage the minds of those who are sitting in that little assembly. Engage their minds and ask questions about the reading of the story. Use a good Bible storybook. There's a few of them around. Use them. Read passages. Teach the family from the Word. Teach the family from the Word. The stories, the Proverbs. Read them and read them and read them. I probably said it before, but there's at least one verse in the book of Proverbs that touches any possible area of life that you have a question about today. At least one verse in the book of Proverbs. Read it. Go through it regularly. There's plenty of other passages to read, but Proverbs is a good one for family worship. Sing together as a family. The family that sings together clings together. Sing together. In family worship, sing together. Praise God together as a family. Sing. Sing the little children's songs. Sing songs of commitment. Sing songs about missionaries or things that take our minds in the worship of God. Pray together. The family that prays together stays together. Pray together. If dad's at a meeting, sisters, you can take the lead in those moments and have the family at least pray together before you go to bed. Sing a song yet before you go to bed. Do that. Also, I want to just give this for young families, young couples among us. Family worship is a good time to help children with the restraints and disciplines of sitting in church. Family worship can be a training ground for regular Sunday morning worship services and other worship services. Family worship, in a tiny measure, could begin in courtship. Dating couples really should have a short devotional together in most visits. Also, dating couples should learn to pray together. Another challenge that I want to leave with us on this thing of family worship is a little question. How easy is it to skip family worship? Just, what's it matter? How easy is it to skip family worship? There was a brother, he's our pastor for 8 years in Costa Rica. He was very exemplary in this area of life. There was very, very few days that they didn't have family worship. They even had family worship on Sunday mornings. We never did at our house, still don't. But at his house, they even had family worship on Sundays. And there was a community man. He was a very pious Catholic man. He was a good friend of ours. And this man's house was on a steep hill coming up. And this man often walked because he lived down in the town, which is at the bottom of this big, big, long hill. And around this one corner, the man's house sat up on top of that hill. And the windows were often open. And he'd often walk from the place where he lived in town up the hill to the land that he had up the hill to tend his fences and look at his animals and stuff. He'd often, just because he was a single man and an older man, he'd had a lot of time, he'd just walk up. He asked me one time, Virgie, he said, something strange. He said, I go by that house and I keep hearing the singing out of there. Do Do you have church services in your houses, or what's the deal? Yes, we do. Actually, we do. He said, there's something about that. Every time I go past there on the morning, he said, I always hear somebody either singing or something in that house. You have church services in your house? I hope that someone was eavesdropping around at the corners of our house at a certain time of the day, they could hear a little church service in there. Public worship. Our worship at church should be a weekly highlight. A gathering of people who throughout the week have been worshiping God personally and as families. Psalm 100. This is just an application, probably not the interpretation, but just a thought. Public worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth through all generations. Now, as I just think about coming to church, just making that application, entering into his gates, enter the sanctuary with thanksgiving and his courts with praise and being thankful unto him and blessing his name, praising God in the public assembly. We go over to 1 Corinthians, things about public worship. There's a lot of teaching in the Bible about it. I just picked out a few scriptures. Part of that is preaching and teaching of the word. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us collectively, which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of the world... verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. To save them that believe. Preaching should be a part of our worship experience in a collective way. Preaching the word. Chapter 14, verse 23. Collective worship again. There's a lot of teaching here. We're just going to skim over this. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, notice, they were worshiping personally, individually, in their homes, wherever they were throughout the week. They had little family worship, and now they're gathered together. They're come together in one place. And all speak with tongues, and there come on those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And there's a lot that we could pull out from that, but I just want to get the idea of people getting together to worship. Coming together to worship, and let all things that are done in that assembly be done unto edifying, as to build the church. There's a lot more that could be said. And if we go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we don't need to turn there, I'm just going to make reference to it. It talks about he gave unto some apostles, some prophets, to some pastors and teachers, evangelists, all have their place in the collective gathering of God's people. Keeping the word central, we gather in collective worship to honor the Lord of the church, the head of the body, to teach and preach the words of great importance, praying together. What is the power available to us if we would pray together with one heart and one voice? What power could be ours We prayed as individuals out in our different homes and communities. We had family worship and prayer time there. And what is the power that would be available to God's people if we got together to pray? One time got a man out of prison. Read that in a Bible story this week. It's so amazing. Some Bible story writers have some pretty good imagination. And how all that happened there when Peter was set free from prison. That was some amazing thing. What was happening when that happened? There was people over there praying. And it was such a miracle they scarcely believed it themselves. What is the power available to us if we would pray together with one heart? Praying for each other, praying for others, praying for needs, locally and abroad. Pray one for another. Singing. Oh, what a beautiful thing singing is, memorizing songs. One of the things that has been known for years is there's a song leader in one of our churches that stands up in front of a congregation with a little memory, a little index card, and he's got about 7 songs on there. And he doesn't waste any time, and he'll start the first song. And as soon as he's done with that, he'll start the second song, and he'll start the third song. And get done with that and sing the fourth song. Memory, memory, memory. Just one after another. He's 80 years old now. Who will keep alive the art of singing by memory? At least a verse of a song. Let's keep that alive. Keep singing alive among us. It's part of coming into his courts with praise. I found this quote that I'm going to read. It's one long sentence. One long sentence. But it just summarized what I was thinking about. And as I think about our worship in practical terms, I just want to read it in closing. Believing that Christ formed the church, that the church exists to propagate Christ's influence, that the church's method of doing this is meeting together frequently in Christ's name, that God himself planned the frequency weekly and gave us a day for it, Sunday, the Lord's Day. And inasmuch as common usage recognizes Sunday morning as church time, I hereby pledge myself, as long as I live, wherever I be, unless hindered by sickness or necessity, on Sunday morning I will go to church, trying to do it for one motive only, for Christ. I will try to go on time, and I will be reverent in church. And all my life, I will be a reader of God's Word. And while you read God's Word, pray to Him, the source of life and power. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Read the Word and grow thereby and be edified, personally, as a family. And then our collective worship will also be acceptable before the eyes of God. Let's kneel for prayer.